Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us for yet another episode of Is This the Church? And I am your host, Sister AJ, and this is our first show of the year 2023. Where did the time go? It seems like last year just flew by, didn't it? So we are here after a short break and recharged and ready to go for to see what the Lord would have us do for the coming year. And I hope that everyone had a blessed, safe, and fruitful holiday season. And thank you once again for joining me. And so we're just going to get right into the show for today. And I have a good great show lined up for you today. This particular show, we're still continuing with talking about thieves and fleecers and false teachers, and this one is going to be concerning a guy that we've kind of heard from starting last summer. He began to hit the news really frequently, and there was some breaking news with him right after I did the last show for last calendar year, so we didn't get to talk about this last time last year. So, and this is, and I hate to use this title, but this is Bishop Lamar Whitehead. He's the pastor that was in Brooklyn, New York, has a small storefront church, and if you remember, he's the bishop that got robbed in the middle of service. You see the video of these three guys just run in, brandishing weapons, and they hold him up and they steal his and his wife's jewelry from him. And so after that, he began to be in the news a lot for various reasons. So that's who we're going to talk about today, Bishop Whitehead and the shenanigans going on with him. And so without further ado, we'll go ahead and bring up the first video. We're going to talk a little bit about his history, because he does have a criminal past and different things going on with him. And then we'll talk about the robbery, so a couple news reports about that, some connections that he has with others that we may have heard of in church circles, beefs, because he is one that likes to mix it up and get into it with some of these folks. And then we'll get into the breaking news that came a few weeks ago. So we'll watch the first video, which is talking about what's happened recently, but also some other things in his past.
Lamar Whitehead, yes. So as of Monday, December 19th, 2022, Bishop Lamar Whitehead was arrested by federal agents. He is known for the flashy Brooklyn pastor who made headlines earlier this year when he was robbed at gunpoint during his church service. He was arrested by federal agents Monday for allegedly scamming a member of his congregation, among other charges. If convicted, he faces up to 65 years in prison, and rightfully so. This man has two decades of fraud stemming all the way back to 2004. In 2004, he had 9 complaints from residents in Suffolk County for identity theft. In 2005, he defaulted on a personal loan and was sued for $306,000. In 2006, he was charged for a $2 million identity theft scam that involved 50 victims from Tennessee, Georgia, all the way up to New York. He was sent to Sing Sing Prison in 2008 and released for good behavior in 2013. He then met Mayor Adams, who is Mayor Eric Adams of New York City, in 2013. They ended up developing a good friendship. And by 2014, Bishop Whitehead founded Leaders of Tomorrow International Churches. Back in 2013, Eric Adams was the Brooklyn Borough President, and Bishop Whitehead appeared by his side at numerous high-profile events all the way up until 2016. During Adams' campaign for Borough President, Whitehead falsely claimed that he had created a collaborative justice initiative with the Brooklyn District Attorney. How stupid can you be? In August of 2013, Eric Adams introduced Whitehead at a concert, calling him my good friend and good brother. Adams also presented Bishop Whitehead's mother with an honorary citation in 2015 and gave a key to the Brooklyn Borough, of the Brooklyn Borough, to his cousin, Whitehead's cousin, Foxy Brown, the rapper Foxy Brown, in February of 2016. So it's alleged that Bishop Whitehead is related to the rapper Foxy Brown. During that time of friendship or bromance, whatever you want to call it, of course, Bishop Lamar Whitehead took advantage of their friendship by being by soliciting donations for his church at the time. Fast forward to 2021, Bishop Whitehead was sued in New York by a former congregant who claimed he defrauded her out of $90,000. According to the complaint, in November of 2020, Whitehead promised to assist Ms. Pauline Anderson in improving her credit score as well as purchasing and renovating a house in exchange for $90,000 in investment. Bishop Whitehead further promised to repay Anderson in full as well as $100 each month until the property was fully renovated. Furthermore, Ms. Anderson claims in the complaint that in May of 2021, Bishop Whitehead texted her and said the $90,000 was not an investment, but rather a campaign contribution that Whitehead was under no obligation to repay her. And of course, Bishop Whitehead is denying all claims, and the matter remains in court until today, which is why he was arrested Monday, December 19th of 2022 by federal agents because of this claim. Now, just a little side note, Bishop Whitehead, he was trying to run for the president of the Brooklyn Borough back in 2021, but that was an unsuccessful campaign. So this man, this trifling man, has two decades worth of identity theft and fraud. He's also been caught lying to the Brooklyn District Attorney. Now his ass is arrested by the feds. He is still in custody. His lawyer is saying these charges are frivolous, but we think otherwise. Also, another side note, he is currently suing a couple of YouTube bloggers, $20 million lawsuit and a $50 million lawsuit against Ms. Jones, who is a radio personality. However, I'm pretty sure those lawsuits are going to get thrown out, being that his ass was arrested by the feds for fraud and identity theft. So all in all, I'm calling Mr. Bling, a.k.a. Bishop Whitehead, the Black Bernie Madoff. Yes, he is a liar, he is a cheat, and he deserves to be locked up for the rest of his natural life and pay back the money to the victims. How is he going to pay it back if he's locked up? Well, how about you confiscate all of his jewelry, all of his real estate, any type of assets that he may have? Anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in to another Staying Up With The Data.
Okay, so that's just a little rundown of Bishop Whitehead and his past issues and the fact that he was served with an indictment from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and they showed up and took him to jail, which he a few days before Christmas, like she said in the video, and he is out currently out on bond. I think it was like a $500,000 bond that he was able to post in order to get out. So he is currently out and awaiting trial. So I think probably sometime next spring is when the trial is set for at this time, so there's more to come with all of this. And she mentioned in the video that there were a couple of YouTube, because he's the type of person that if he is on the internet or people tell him what's being said, and if he doesn't like what a person said about him, he's starting to file lawsuits and stuff against various individuals. And she mentioned a couple of YouTube bloggers, which Larry Reed is one of them, and another is a guy called named King Jives. And a lot of times they're shtick mostly is doing commentary on things that happen in the church. You've probably heard us use Larry Reed sometimes on these broadcasts. So those are the guys that he is suing, and he's suing each of them for $20 million, supposedly for defamation of character, because they were saying he was a scammer and some other things, and he is suing other people for the same things as well. But they're probably going to get thrown out eventually, but we'll see on that. So another thing that happened that she didn't mention is that he is supposedly a real estate investor, and he had bought an apartment complex in Connecticut, which is in foreclosure now. In addition to that, he's being accused of being a slumlord, because when he bought the building, there were no real repairs made to any of the apartments. There are no fire escapes. And also the loan, I guess he's in default on that. And so he's being sued by the finance company. So, and that suit was filed back in September. Plus there was some issues with a water bill for the building that he is also became responsible for when he bought the building. So he's got some stuff going on, and plus she mentioned other lawsuits that are filed against him due to money that he allegedly took from some people, which we'll, you know, hear more about that as we go on through some of these videos. So now the next video we're going to listen to is just some more information about the robbery from last summer, July, I believe it was, is when it happened. So we'll listen to this report on that.
Yo, all right, right, right. All right, right. Yo, right, right.
More than $1 million worth of jewelry stolen, all while a renowned Brooklyn bishop presented his Sunday sermon.
They took all of my wife's jewelry and took all of my jewelry, and then they left. However, these young men didn't know that cameras were on.
The Leaders of Tomorrow International Ministries live streams its services, and last Sunday was no different. As Bishop Lamore Miller Whitehead addressed his congregation, a group of masked gunmen interrupted. Whitehead detailed the incident on Instagram Live, captioning the video, "Yes, they robbed me in my church."
And when I seen the armed men come in, you know, it was specifically for me. It was specifically for me and of course, my wife. And when I seen them come into the sanctuary with their guns, I told everybody, get out. Everybody just get out.
Whitehead says three people armed and wearing all black interrupted the Sunday sermon. He says one of the suspects pointed a gun at his 8-month-old daughter's face. At the same time, all of his wife's jewelry was taken. After that, his jewelry was also stolen.
Come on, Pastor.
Whitehead said he chased the suspects out of the church, where they hopped into a white Mercedes-Benz vehicle. At the time, about 25 congregants were present. Whitehead now says churchgoers are traumatized.
Right. Everybody get out. I didn't know if they wanted to shoot the church up or if they were just coming for a robbery.
The bishop, known for wearing designer outfits and flashy jewelry, says he and his family were specifically targeted.
You know, sometimes, you know, when you are a known bishop, you know, it's a gift and a curse. When you have somewhat of a celebrity status, it is a gift and a curse. You know, you become the talk of the town.
The New York Police Department received a report on the incident and says the investigation is still ongoing. For the latest developments in this story and all things true crime, stay with Law & Crime Network. For Law & Crime Network, I'm Sierra Gillespie.
Okay, so that's talking about the robbery. And from the beginning, a lot of people, myself included, there were just some weird things about this robbery that made a lot of people think that perhaps it was staged in order to get insurance money. And because, for one thing, that if you watch the video, there was a man, because the camera was facing front, so there was a man sitting off in the corner with one of his deacons or somebody up there was sitting there with his Bible on his lap, and he's just sitting there watching it like he's watching the TV program. He never flinched. He never moved. His Bible never fell off his lap, nothing. It's as if this guy was not surprised to see anything that was going on. And people were pointing out how weird that was. And here's this guy with a small storefront church that maybe has 20 members. How does he get the money to be able to buy $1 million worth of jewelry? The robbers only took from he and his wife. No one else in there was robbed. If it was a random thing, you would think they would at least steal some cash or people's phones or something like thieves typically do, but nobody was touched other than him, and then they took his wife's jewelry and stuff as well. So it's just weird. But in case people don't know, if you haven't been keeping up with it or whatever, back, let me see, maybe September or October time frame, they did apprehend two of the guys that came into the church to rob him. So they're in custody, or they may have bonded out by now. I'm not sure if they were able to bond or not, but they were apprehended and taken into custody. One of them is still at large. They didn't catch, but the third guy, haven't heard that they've located him yet. So, of course, the bishop is saying he's vindicated and everything, which no statements or other information is out. So their trial is set for sometime next year as well. So who knows what information is going to come out of this trial for these guys. Now, as far as the bishop and his involvement, there were a couple theories that I entertained, which the main one, well, maybe he's staged this, but even if the robbery was genuine, another thing I thought about was, well, maybe this could be some kind of get back from someone he may have gotten some money from, and they decided that rather than taking him to court, they would take it to the streets and either sent some people or came in themselves with a couple of friends to get something from him. So who knows what the actual details of this is. That remains to be seen. So if I hear anything more, I would definitely share it with you. So that's the details and the update on the robbery situation. They did catch two of the guys involved. So next, he has some connections. They mentioned Mayor Eric Adams. Supposedly they have some sort of acquaintanceship going back some years. And also he has some connections with the blogger he mentioned that he's now suing, Larry Reed, and also Bernard Jordan. From what I'm hearing from things that Larry Reed has been saying and also Bernard Jordan himself, they knew him loosely because his Lamar Whitehead's wife, her father is friends with Bernard Jordan, and as we know, Larry Reed is connected to Bernard Jordan now. E. Bernard Jordan, the Archbishop, Jedi, Master Jedi, Prophet Bernard Jordan, that Bernard Jordan in New York. So they kind of loosely know each other. Bernard had some kind of gathering at his house, and Larry was there, and Lamar was there with his wife, and Bernard had was explaining on a video that I was listening to where he was saying, they kept saying, well, something didn't sit right with me about the guy, because I guess they were considering embracing him and bringing him into their little den of thieves. And but Bernard Jordan mentioned that that Lamar has a bit of a temper. He doesn't appear to be very teachable or accountable to anything. And Bernard said he asked him not to curse or something that while he was at his house, and how Lamar took issue with it. And I think that, you know, he said that's when he decided to back away. And since then, Lamar seems to have this issue with both of them, and he has talked about them on certain Instagram rants that he's put out, and Larry Reed in particular. So it's a personal issue between the bishop and these guys. But I just to demonstrate this thing with Larry Reed, I want to play a video of a blow-up. Larry was on a live with some other female preacher / self-proclaimed prophet, and they were on there talking about Bishop Whitehead and the robbery, and they were making some little jokes about the background that he has set up in his church, and making and saying it looked cheaply done, you know, just making a little fun. And apparently Bishop heard about it, and he called into that live and was having a discussion with Larry, and so that's where we're going to pick up in this next video, just to demonstrate the personal issue that he has with Larry Reed. And warning, he does use some language in here, so just be aware of that as well.
Oh, ma'am. Hold on one second. Nobody wants to talk to you, Biggie. Nobody wants to talk to you, Biggie.
You don't have any respect for women.
No. Don't talk about women now. Don't talk about women. Because y'all laugh. Y'all laugh when Larry said, if that's really true. That's what you said, Larry, and y'all laughed. And what you did was, you laid on your carpet. You laid on your carpet and pretended to be me. You're disrespectful, okay? You're disrespectful.
This man won't clap, though.
At the end of the day, Larry, at the end of the day, I respected you. And you want to talk about the LGBT community? We had a conversation. And my position was that I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not, if homosexuality is an abomination.
No, you're mean. You're mean.
Wait, what are you talking about mean? How am I mean? I'm not mean. You're mean.
Hold on.
You're mean. You're mean. Because at the end of the day, y'all sitting here laughing at something that four gunmen could have took my family life, and y'all sitting here making a mockery of it, all right?
We are not.
Big blitz right here want to sit here and talk about women, all right? And you want to sit here and validate homosexuality because you just admitted that you're a faggot, all right? That's only...
You do not have the level of intelligence or self
You can talk to Bishop Jordan and say, oh, I brought the bishop, and I said, that ain't right. Let me tell you something, all right? Long as God got me, I don't need none of y'all. I don't need none of you. None of you, all right? None of you, all right? And at the end of the day, you violated, Larry. You violated. Y'all laughing about what happened in my church.
Which
I'm
not. You making that up.
Listen, let me tell you, Larry, you ain't built like that, all right? You a whole sucker. You ain't built like that. And
I'm not built like what? What does that mean?
And laugh at my daughter and my father and my family.
You're a blimp.
You're a fat blimp, all right? And at the end of the day, let me tell you this, right? My family and my church could have got killed. My family and my church could have got killed, okay? And y'all sitting here laughing about it. Sitting here laughing about it, all right? And y'all
we
all
not.
Foul. You're foul. Larry Reed, I treated you with nothing but respect when you came to my town. Nothing but respect, all right?
And I was at my bishop house.
No, I'm talking about in New York City. I treated you with nothing but respect. Nothing but respect. Nothing but respect. I ain't never talked about you, and I actually defended you when people talked about you. I said, I don't get that experience from the brother. The brother's cool with me, all right? But you want to know what? You showed your faith, and you allow money to drive you. You talk about everybody, and you talked about me.
Oh, and I ain't talking about you.
You I talked about I listened to you.
Now your video is on CNN and everywhere because I posted it. I was the first person to put your video out. You should be telling me thank you.
Are you kidding me? You think Larry Reed got me on CNN, right? Larry Reed, you're smoking.
It's like you get everybody else on the outlet.
I know weed is legal.
You popped up here. Hey,
okay.
Ask him to come over here.
Listen, I was already in the media before you even posted anything. I saw when you tagged me, okay? I saw you when you tagged me. Larry, you're not that big, brother. You're not that big.
Okay.
And this woman who called the woman of God, she's foul.
You really
and that's
you.
Why. And
really
that's why I violated the both of y'all. And let me tell you, anytime you ready, we can do a live, we can do whatever. Don't say it, talk about my Bible, and you want to say, and he talk about real.
I'm going to say what I want to say.
I'm going to say what I want to say. And I wish you would disrespect me. Yeah, you would
disrespect
me. But you got the right one, brother.
You cannot take jokes. You cannot take jokes.
You don't jump when they make my family lie down. All right?
Nobody,
you don't jump. You don't jump when they put a gun to my daughter's face. You don't jump.
Nobody joke.
Okay, so that's him getting into it with Larry Reed earlier this summer, not long after the robbery happened. And another thing that he did is that he challenged Larry Reed to a boxing match, you know, for $1 million, get in the ring and I'll fight you. And also there's a comedian, black comedian named D.L. Hughley. You saw a lot of him sort of back in the 90s. And he does a podcast or something now. And he had the bishop on, D.L. had the bishop on his show. And I guess D.L. Hughley asked some questions or said some things that the bishop didn't really care for. So it wasn't long after that he was going in on DL, and he also challenged him to a boxing duel. So it's like, okay, this guy's saying he's a bishop and a pastor, but just like we did with Jamal Bryant on last program, let's look at, you know, what the Bible says about a bishop or a pastor or overseer. 1 Timothy 3:2. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not contentious. Well, what we just heard blows that out of the water. one that ruleth well his own house, having his own children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of a devil. So far from what we've heard about Bishop Whitehead, it doesn't look like he fits any of this. The only thing we can't say for sure about is the situation at home, but a lot of this other stuff is on here is a no-go as far as I can tell. But he is a guy that really does not like it. He has very, very thin skin. If people are saying things about him that he doesn't like, he's going to make some comment about it. He's going to say things, go back at them and say things about them on social media. And like he did in this situation, he actually called in to Larry's live that he was having with this lady and just insulted both of them. So that's the bishop. I hate to call him that because it's like he's not a bishop. And another person that he filed a lawsuit with, I guess, is a local radio personality there in New York, the New York area, and she was having some discussions about him and also preachers in the church in general and some of these pimp preachers and the things that they do now and he's suing her as well because he was saying defamation of character because of certain things that she mentioned on her program. So let's listen to this.
And welcome back to Law and Crime Daily, everybody. We finish off in Brooklyn with yet another defamation case where a preacher is suing a radio host for $50 million. Lamore Miller Whitehead, known as the Bling Bishop, is suing radio personality Tarsha Nicole Jones for comments that she made on her morning show. The preacher was robbed in July while live streaming a sermon, losing over $1 million in jewelry, and according to the lawsuit, Jones made false statements on her radio show in September, calling the bishop a, quote, drug dealer and claiming that he was using the church to hide old drug money. The suit also accuses Jones of saying the preacher, quote, assaulted the young lady when he allegedly grabbed a young woman by the neck mid-service. Whitehead was handcuffed after that incident but released by police hours later. Right now, Jones doesn't have a lawyer listed in court records and he hasn't spoken publicly on the lawsuit. Terry, we have seen a lot of defamation lawsuits filed in the last few months, many involving celebrities. And just because you file a lawsuit doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to win one, right? I mean, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Jesse, this is an interesting case, and it has multiple twists and turns. It also makes you think about before you say something on air. Many people were very skeptical about this robbery. Some even blamed Bishop Whitehead for being ostentatious with his jewelry and other valuables. But Whitehead thought that several people went way too far in their commentary. He's suing Jones for several statements she made on September 13th when she was on air speaking to thousands of viewers. According to the complaint, Jones said that Whitehead was a drug dealer, as you mentioned, and that he's using all of this old money that he got from his drugs in the church. I actually spoke to Bishop Whitehead's attorney. His name is Brian Ponder, who confirmed that additional lawsuits have already been filed against people who allegedly made defamatory remarks, including a lawsuit against air personality Larry Reed. Ponder said that he keeps a running list, get this, of people who he may sue for those remarks that they're making. It sounds like there may be quite a few people on that list. But Ponder explained exactly why Tarsha Jones is at the top of the list. He mentioned the requirements to bring a defamation case, including the need to show actual malice when a public figure is involved. Take a listen.
These allegations are not couched in, being alleged. And radio personalities, they know how to have commentary that's commentary versus defamatory statements that are maliciously made to cause significant damage to someone. But the way she made these comments were, in fact, with malice and very calculated to cause damage. It's almost as if she had some type of vendetta against Bishop Whitehead. And, yeah, it's very unfortunate. It's very, very damaging. I don't, you know, you would think, because this lady, Ms. Jones, was previously reprimanded at another employer for making, you know, statements that were improper. So you would think she would have learned a lesson, but apparently not. But yes, definitely, I think without question, the particular statements we pulled out were the ones that were very malicious. And without question, in our opinion, she and her employer, Paramount, will be found liable.
You know, Jesse, I also asked Ponder if he could prove actual damages, which, as you know, is a required element in a defamation case. He confirmed to me that after Jones's remarks, several of Whitehead's investors stopped investing their money. So it sounds like there could be real damages in this case.
Brian, again, we've seen multiple defamation lawsuits in recent years. Johnny Depp against Amber Heard, the case that was brought by the families of the Sandy Hook victims against Alex Jones. Do you think that people are just suing for the sake of suing? I know anybody can sue anybody for anything, but is that what's happening here?
I mean, people in this country are very litigious, so that could be a part of it. But you listed those major cases. Maybe people are just becoming more and more aware of this being a way to recoup losses, especially when their reputation is damaged. Say what you want to say about the bling bishop. Too ostentatious, too many jewelry. Maybe this is not the way the Bible should be preached. But when you go after a public figure in this way and they lose money, they lose sponsors, they lose people going to their church, the law does afford them with a way of recouping those losses. He lost $1 million when he was robbed. Now he's looking for 50. I think he might be making out on top at the end of the day when it comes to this case, especially if they can prove actual malice, and it seems like a possibility here.
I think the biggest takeaway is defamation lawsuits, very important, but each one is pretty independent. You can't, just because it was successful or unsuccessful in one case doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the same result in another, and I think that probably is the best takeaway from learning about these cases. Brian Terry, great to have you on. Thanks so much for joining us here on Law and Crime Daily. We're going to see you next time as we discuss justice.
Okay, so as we can see, it appears that the bishop likes to use lawsuits to try and strike back at his detractors. Now, with this particular case, I think this report must have come out right after he filed, but I think since then the defendants have filed their own paperwork and to answer the lawsuit. And in it, because I was looking at another YouTuber that is an attorney, and they have pulled up the actual documents that have been filed where they attach all a transcript pretty much of the show that is being referenced here. And from what their counter says, when you put all those comments back into proper context, the person never accused him directly of being a drug dealer, but were referencing general things that they've heard that some of these preachers do, but not naming him specifically as someone who does that. So they've answered, given their answer to the suit. I don't think it's been a court date yet, but they've just submitted the paperwork, so it remains to be seen how this is going to turn out. But they've pretty much referenced, did a transcript, and they have the actual audios from the show attached to their answer. So it's a possibility that this lawsuit isn't going to amount to anything, but we'll see. But I'm just looking at this, and I'm like, boy, when the qualifications for a bishop in the Bible talk about not being contentious, I mean, this man is very contentious, with especially with people that he think are talking about him in a negative way. And he could be a textbook narcissist, because any of those, that personality type that I've encountered, they're a lot like this. So it's just very interesting to watch. So the next situation we're going to look at is because of all the notoriety he's gained from the robbery and going viral, of course, that sparks some curiosity about him. And so a woman that lives in the local area decided to visit his church, and there was a confrontation between him and this woman. So we're going to listen to a few things about that. The first will be a news report from this same thing we were looking at. We're going to listen to a news report and commentary on this incident with this woman, and then we'll listen to an interview that she actually did with Larry Reed a little bit later on. We'll listen to a portion of that interview because it'll give some more insight on why she was there in the first place. And so, first of all, the news report.
And they want to be on social media. Take the pictures. 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 Go over here. Go over here. Grab her out.
That was Bishop Lamore M. Whitehead at his church in Brooklyn, New York, this past Sunday, where he was giving a sermon, and he says a woman who was being disruptive then walked up to him, and he said he felt threatened by this woman, he and his wife and his child. So part of this was captured on surveillance video. Let's take a look.
Yeah, come on up here. Come on up here. I'm going to make you famous. Come on up here. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Woo! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray in the spirit, y'all. Doko shana ma 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 si. Doko bo shata ba ba ba. Sete bebe go shata ba. Ata ba boko shata ma si. Doko shene ma la shata ba ba.
I just wanted to point out so far in this video, the lady, Tasha Howard, is in the aisle walking up and down. She's left her seat at this point, and she's saying some stuff, talking pretty loudly at him, saying some stuff to him. And so that's what he's responding to, and then he's telling her to come on up to the front, and he's left the frame of the video right now, but eventually he's going to come back up and get in the pulpit, and she's going to be up there standing in front of the pulpit and addressing and saying some things to him, and then she's going to proceed to walk to what would be his left. And then he's going to just take and grab her by the back of the neck, and then he's going to put his hand on his other hand on her back and just hurriedly take her and walk her all the way around the corner, down another aisle that's by the wall and out the back. So that's what's happening in this video.
Glory to God. Now remove her out of here. Now move her out of here. Move her out of here. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a round of applause, y'all.
Now, after this happened, Lamore Whitehead was taken to the police department, and so was this woman. They were both questioned. Whitehead was later let go, and the woman was charged with some misdemeanor crimes. Then Lamore Whitehead held a press conference talking about the incident.
Everybody keeps saying that I invite her in the pulpit. You have to be a minister to be in the pulpit in my church. So she came on the side, and she began to yell at me. She began to cuss me out and say whatever she wanted to say. I let her say what she wanted to say, and I'm going to be posting more video because you guys didn't see the video inside of the church. What you guys don't see on camera is that she started to walk back to leave, and then she spit back around. And she came back after my wife and my daughter. So I have my wife and my daughter, who's 10 months old, sitting there, and she came and said, and now you're a liar going towards my wife. That's when you see her walk in front of me, going at my wife and my daughter, and I grabbed her. Everybody's saying that I choked her. How can you choke somebody from behind?
Now, Bishop White.
And I also wanted to add, now, there are two video angles, as he said, and one of them is like a wide view, like a surveillance camera that's up somewhere in the church, so you can see an overhead view, and it gives you a view of everything that's happening. And he was saying that she went for his wife, and that's when he grabbed her. But the thing about it is this is a small space, very small. And it's actually not even a storefront. This is an event space where someone else owns that space. He rents it for his Sunday services or whatever he's going to do as a church in this space. And so they have baby showers, all kind of stuff in this place, but it's kind of small. And so you can see the center aisle, some rows of chairs on one side, which nobody is on that side. Then you've got chairs on the right side where you see some people there. And when she was up at the front, what he's describing, he felt threatened, his wife, a baby. But it's such a small area. And off to the side of the pulpit and somewhere near where the spectator chairs start is where the wife was sitting in some big chairs they had put there for either him and his wife to sit in. And so it's such a small space that even if she was going to go to around that way to go back to the back to get back into her seat, she was going to have to pass pretty close to where his wife was sitting because of how small the area is. But, and I'm not saying he didn't have a right to feel threatened, but I just wanted to point that out. I don't understand how it's okay for him to grab her because he's got ushers and other people in there. But he took it upon himself to grab her and basically run her out the door, holding the back of her neck and on her back a little bit. One of his other hand was placed somewhere else, and he just kind of dog walked her out the back door. But from what I could see, the spacing, it would be very difficult for her to get around there without being somewhere near his wife.
Ed says that he was actually set up by the woman and some other people to create this ruckus. And this all happened after he was robbed at gunpoint in the very same church earlier this month. So joining me to discuss this is attorney Bryant Camarillo. Bryant, welcome back to Sidebar. We appreciate you coming on. Tell me your thoughts on this. We have the surveillance video from different angles showing what happened, but we also have him saying, oh, you want to come up here and preach? Come. So what are your thoughts after seeing the video and listening to Bishop Whitehead's press conference?
Well, if I'm representing, and thank you, by the way, for having me on your show, but if I were representing the woman, my argument would be, hey, he invited me to come on stage, and I took advantage of that, and I wasn't threatening anyone, I wasn't assaulting anyone, and therefore his manhandling of me, grabbing me by the neck, was unjustified. Now, if he were to get charged, I would argue, representing him, the pastor, that, hey, I felt threatened, and he says that, I felt threatened. So that video kind of works both ways. There's things that help her, and there's things that help him, and you can see where she goes off to the right of the camera heading towards somebody. That's when he grabbed her, and I think that's where he's going to claim that his family felt threatened for his family, which would therefore justify his grabbing her by the neck. So, you know, it works kind of both ways. I think in the end, I'd be surprised if anybody got charged with this. in terms of officially, you know, if the state attorney's office or the district attorney's office goes through the criminal case.
Oh, interesting. So you think there's a possibility that the charges against the woman could later be dropped, the prosecutor would say, we're not doing anything with this.
I would think so, unless there's witnesses, they're going to fill in the blanks, because the video, again, just simply shows her motioning off towards the you know, off to the side. So unless there's witnesses, they're going to say, oh, no, I can see where she got really close to his wife and baby or whatever. I think that's what he claimed. So, yeah, unless there's witnesses to support that, I don't know if his actions were justified or if her actions were caused or rose to the level of a crime. So, yeah, the district attorney could say, you know, we're not going to press charges against either one of them.
That's very interesting. And right now, Bishop Whitehead isn't facing any charges. How much do you think the earlier incident where a gun was pointed at him and he was robbed in his church, how much do you think that played into the decision to maybe not charge him? I mean, he did invite her up. She is on another social media post saying that he grabbed her neck and that she had scratches. He's denying that he scratched the woman. He says he's well-groomed. So how much do you think the earlier incident played into the decision to not do anything to him?
Well, you know, a good question. I prosecuted for 10 years, and so I would definitely look into what's going on with this pastor, that he's the victim of a robbery, and then there's this group out there that are quote-unquote trying to set him up, which even the pastor admits. So I would, if I were the prosecutor, I'd look at what's going on that he has so many enemies, and that might not necessarily justify what he did or what she did to him, if anything, but I would definitely look at something's going on with him, and it could affect his level of credibility. So if I were the prosecutor and I discovered that there's something going on behind the scenes, I may not want to call him as a witness. So that's why I may not want to charge him or charge anyone, because if I call him as a victim to the stand and it comes out that he's involved in, let's say, something, you know, nefarious, then I don't know if I want to, you know, vouch for his credibility as a prosecutor. So it may come into play that there's something going on, but, you know, nothing's come out yet as to that. But I definitely would look into it if I was a prosecutor.
Well, it's all just very strange to me. The whole incident seems really strange that you would obviously, you know, maybe have some group of people, and he kind of makes it sound like it's a more than one person, sending somebody in to kind of cause this disturbance, and then going up when he's invited or when she's invited and going up there to the front of the church and then him actually putting his hands on her. So I find this to be not that – I mean, most crimes or most incidents are kind of weird, but this seems kind of to be a little bit of a next-level bizarre type of thing.
Right. Well, again, so if I were the prosecutor, I'd look at, why does he have so many enemies, number one. Number two, he does invite her up. My impression was, and again, if I'm representing him, is that she was being vocal, and he invited her up to preach. And then when he saw her wander off, or at least her attitude changed, she was yelling at him, and then wander off towards his family, that's when he grabbed her. So I think the invitation on stage, again, was part because I think she was – maybe he was just inviting her, thinking that she was part of the celebration, you know, the ministry. But, again, I agree with you. It's just a strange situation, and that's why I would look at everything before I call him as a victim or as a witness, because, again, if there's anything in his background, it's fair game. And as a defense attorney cross-examining him, it might call into question his credibility, and then the district attorney's case is shut down. So – I think that's what they're going to be looking at. What's going on with him, and why does he have so many enemies?
Yeah, it seems interesting, to say the least. We're glad nobody was hurt, though. I mean, these days you just never know. It seems like there are a lot of people out there. We cover things all the time, and I guess you can never be too careful in this day and age. We see all kinds of crazy things happen. I think this pastor, though, Bishop Whitehead, needs to maybe get some security at his church.
Well, I think so. Again, and I would maybe do some self-analysis. If I'm the pastor, why do so many people hate me? If I'm a minister of God, why are so many people angry at me? And so, again, it may call into question, is there something going on? Is he, you know, and again, I'm not disparaging him. Is he taking money? Is he misusing money? So that's why, again, I would look at it. And then he himself, again, do some self-analysis. Why are so many people angry at me? What can I do to make the peace? Because this is the second time he's been assaulted, if you will, on stage, you know, live on camera.
Yeah, it's very strange for sure. Again, glad nobody was injured, and we'll just watch to see what happens with this. Bryant Camerino, defense attorney out of Tampa, Florida, we appreciate you coming on as always.
Of course, thank you, anytime.
And that.
All right. And that attorney was definitely thinking right, because this was like 3 months ago, and now we know what has happened where he's been indicted by the feds. And so he's just a guest on her show, but I'm sure the New York prosecutors are familiar enough with who Bishop Whitehead is and his past. So, and they probably even knew that the feds were looking at him, so that might be a reason why they just didn't pursue anything concerning him. And they charged her with some trespassing, and it was a couple other things, but it may not really amount to anything when it's all said and done, but we'll see. I hadn't heard anything else about it. But so the next video I want to look at, a portion of this, is a interview she did shortly after the incident with Larry Reed to try to clear up some things, and it'll give us a little bit more insight on what she was doing there, in her words. So we'll listen to this, and then I'll chime in with my commentary. So I'm going to have to fast forward a little bit on here. So here we go.
All right. So those of you that are coming into the live, go ahead and continue to hit like. We're just waiting for our background to show up because I am the way that I am. I don't like doing nothing in this half-cocked. So I'm just waiting for the background to be put in so I feel like that I can move forward. But I will like for you to tell us who, where you, your proper title, your proper name. Maybe you want to shout out your pastor, your home church, and just let us know who you are.
Well, first of all, my name is Prophetess Tarsha Howard. I am from Brooklyn, New York, and my home church is Zoe Ministries.
Wait a minute! I didn't expect you to say that.
Now, Zoe Ministry, just to let you know, that's E. Bernard Jordan. So apparently she's connected to him in some way, and Larry is reacting the way that he did because that's his mentor, and they're buddies now. So let's continue.
So you mean to tell me that my spiritual father and mentor is your pastor?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Now they're really going to think that this was set up. But I had no way of knowing that. I just found out right here in this moment. However, I was told by the person that gave me your name and used the title doctor that you were in the room in June of 2021 when I hosted the event?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right. So let's establish this. Prophetess Tarsha Howard, have you and I had a conversation prior to today?
No.
Did I ask you, or King Jives, I can ask on his behalf, ask you to go and visit Bishop Lamar Whitehead's church?
No, you both did not.
Okay, all right. Just want to establish that first. And I have another question that I would like to ask you as well. You know, he's going to have to put that at the top because you can't, he has to put the other thing, you got to one background, you can't overlay it. Yeah, so tell him that. All right, bring the video back so I can get to talking. Tell us what happened.
Okay.
The part that we did not see that was not in the video, tell us what happened.
Yes, and I want to clear some things up. Number one.
Somebody tried to call her. She'll be back.
Oh, my God.
Okay, you're back now.
Okay. This is my first, last, and only video interview on this matter. And I have retained legal counsel. And so with that being said, I don't know what... everybody has been speaking up over the last 24 hours. I am getting texts of certain lies that are being told through press conferences, and I want to clear those up right now. Number one, Larry and Jive did not send me over there. I am an author, and I am writing a book. And the purpose of my book is I am using case studies for research. And I've been researching various denominations within our community. And the book is about the impact of charismatic leadership within the African-American community. And so with that being said, this particular person became sort of an interest during the incident that happened back in July. And this became one of my case studies. Watching it online, I decided I want to go and actually see and be in the atmosphere to get a better idea of how this ministry runs in person. Because when you watch things online, it's a different atmosphere than when you actually go there in person. Number two, when I got to this ministry, another lie that is being told is that I was trespassing. I was not trespassing. As anyone knows who's been in church, when you get to the door, there are ushers. They took my temperature with a portable thermometer on my wrist to check my temperature for COVID precautions, smiled very nicely at me, and said, okay, let me usher you to your seat. They ushered me to my seat, and I sat down. Another lie that I hear within the last few hours is that I apologize. I did not apologize because I was the one that was assaulted. Another lie that I've heard recently is that I charged after his wife. That is a lie. I did not charge after anyone's wife. I came there in peace. So at the end of the day, what's happening now from what I'm seeing, because I'm not going to mention this person's name, there's now a narrative that's being spun around that matches a narrative for his benefit, which is a total lie.
I just wanted to interject and comment on what she said so far. The last comment, which she's talking about to suit his narratives and everything, that's what he does. I mean, everything about what she had seen up until this point, which was 3 months ago, he loves the attention he's getting. Even what he was saying to her, come on, take the pictures, because the church is small enough and the congregation sparse enough where, of course, he's going to know when there's new people in there. And they were at least one of the – it was her and another lady and the other lady definitely had her camera out taking videos and pictures. So – that's who he was addressing. So if you know what you've seen this guy's pattern of behavior, wouldn't you expect there might be some drama if you go to his church? And I'm just saying. And she mentioned earlier she went to do research for a book and to sample the atmosphere. And if you've listened even a little bit of Bernard Jordan and some of those others like them that are really hyper charismatic and into, especially with Bernard, he's into the prophetic, as he calls it, and stuff, and they're really into atmospheres and changing the atmospheres and sampling the atmosphere. You hear a lot of that, but you know, she may have been curious to see this guy in action in person and got a little bit more than she expected, but considering how he operates, I don't see why anybody is surprised that he created some drama out of this situation. But let's continue with the interview.
So the lie that I was charged towards a woman and a baby, I am a mother. I would not do that. And at the end of the day, this man, who's supposed to be a bishop in the Lord's church, called me up and ushered me up to the front. And once I got up there, I began to speak in my heavenly language. And I don't know what happened, but that's when it went left. I was praying in my heavenly language, and next thing I know, I was being grabbed behind my hair and drug out in the videos that everyone is seeing online. I have a long scratch on my neck. And the thing that I want to let everyone know is that there's another narrative going around that I purposely went there to start some type of trouble. I'm not on that type of time. And so we as people of God have to really start realizing our purpose in the kingdom. And so when I was there for the purpose of me receiving content and doing research as well. And so I want to clear that up for all the people. And let me just say something else. All of these men that are in my DM co-signing this behavior, it makes me wonder your respect and level for women. There is no reason that any man, let me tell you something. I never in my life had a man put his hands on me until Sunday.
Wow.
And where did it happen? It happened in a church.
Right.
And this is why we have a demographic of people right now saying, this is why I don't go to church.
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to stop it there and just comment when she was saying that when she went up, and you can see that in the video a little bit where she's out of her seat and she's pacing back and forth, and you can kind of hear her saying stuff, but she says here that she was praying in her heavenly language. And we all, if you've been around charismatic circles, Bro likes to call them crazy costals, you've seen this before. What they're talking, what she's talking about is praying or speaking in tongues. And she was doing it in that situation out loud where everybody could hear it. And then he began to respond to that and even amp it up even more. And then at some point we heard him break into some gibberish, because nine times, I hate to say it, but at least in my personal experience, the majority of the time it's fake. It's not genuine. They're just making babbling noises, and curiously, every time they're supposedly praying in tongues, they make the same noise, which I thought, according to the scriptures, tongues is actually languages that people actually speak and understand. But so, of course, Paul addresses all this in 1 Corinthians 14, and but she's going to talk a little bit more about this. But I'll just go ahead and read it since I'm mentioning it here, and just keep this in mind, and most of you are probably familiar with this scripture and what it says about how we're supposed to handle tongues in a public setting like this. I'm going to go ahead and skip over to 1 Corinthians 14. And I'll go to verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation? Because they're going to get into the interpretation part here a little bit later, so I'll go ahead and set it up with this. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church. Let him speak to himself and to God. So if she had followed this instruction, none of this would ever happen. And I'm not justifying or saying she deserved anything because of, if nothing else, it's public humiliation because this video is everywhere. It's got to be embarrassing. So I'm not victim blaming per se, but we do have to sometimes look at how we contribute to things. And if they, and if she had followed scripture in this matter, she would not have gained his attention that in that way so that he could bring her up and make a spectacle of her. So just keep that in mind because they're going to get to interpretation in this interview in a little bit later.
Well, this is the reason why that I dedicated this platform to give voice to the LGBTQAI plus community and women, particularly black women and children, whenever I'm discussing any of the stories that come out about the church, because these three groups of people have been abused in the church, and I hate to say this, but LGBTQAI plus children and black women are not safe in church. And let me say this. I'm not talking about all churches, but this needs to be the narrative and the truth that all of those three groups need to embrace so when they go, they are guarded and watching because I have watched it play out over and over and over again. I cannot believe the people that will excuse a black man putting his black hand on a black woman. I cannot understand it. It makes no sense to me. I have a black mom. I have two black sisters. I have two black daughters. And I had a black wife of 18 years. I do not understand that. No part of me can understand that. I don't understand that. I understand how people can look at the video, and I want you to give us answer for this, and see you come up, because there was two videos. I posted a second version yesterday. And you walking up, and it looks like because you're walking in the direction of where his wife and baby was, it looks like you were trying to tell us something. But you're saying and going on record saying that he called you up, which I want to know why.
That's
what
you
presume there's a reason why. Say it again.
I would like to know that as well.
Okay. Okay, so he calls you up for some reason you don't even know. And when you were approaching, you began to speak in tongues.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if you have the gift of interpretation of tongues, but do you know the message that the Spirit had in that utterance?
Yes.
What was that?
Oh, my people, I have come into this place and into this hour. I have given my word to my prophet, and I have come to set order, to set order, to set order, to set order.
Okay, so, all right. Now, for those of you that are outside the Christian faith and do not understand the operation of the prophetic.
Okay, so you heard that with the interpretation, and we just read the scripture on how Paul instructed it should be done in the church. And this happens all the time. If you've spent any time in charismatic circles, you've seen it where somebody will pray in tongues, and then they'll give their own interpretation, but the way it's instructed in the Bible is like a check and a balance to make sure there's no shenanigans, because somebody could either just be a liar or maybe they're deceived themselves, and this is how they've been taught that they have to come up with their own interpretations, but that's not Bible at all. And also, just talking in tongues in public, I'll go up a little bit in 1 Corinthians 14 to 1 verse 22 and 23, therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers, but prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all and he is convicted by all, because the prophecy, the speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is done with understanding. So they hear the gospel and they are convicted, sort of like what happened in Acts on the day of Pentecost, when Peter spoke his first sermon. They were convicted and wanted to know, okay, what do we do to be saved? And before that, when they were hearing these Galileans talking in these foreign languages that they shouldn't be able to speak, people were like, these people must be drunk or something. So Paul is just saying here, when unbelievers see that, they're going to think you're crazy if you're all speaking in tongues, particularly if there is no interpretation, which he gets into later on. That I just read. So let's continue, because they're going to talk a little bit more about their version of the prophetic, which we know is not biblical.
Or the office of the prophet. When we begin to speak in tongues, our scriptures tell us that mysterious things are happening. Messages and things are being downloaded from Father God into our spirit that may show up in our sleep later, may show up in our life later, and give us the message that is in that communication. In our private time, when we pray in tongues, we are praying with supernatural ability to know what we do not know and address what we do not know to be addressed when we're praying in tongues. So she just gave us a decode of the tongues that we heard her speaking while she was walking up front. We also heard bah, 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 my, bah coming from the bishop, who began to as well. So now that you said that, what we saw was in the spirit a collision of light and darkness.
Yes, and that's what was going on in the spiritual realm. It was something blocking what was coming out of my mouth. But the Holy Spirit overrode it, and what happened was I ended up getting choked.
You know what? I know a lot of you don't understand it, but I've seen this happen before, and that's exactly what happened. When it got overrode, God superimposed on that energy, then what happened is him, and this is because I believe that Bishop Livemore Whitehead lacks impulse control. I don't really believe people. I believe patterns. When he called into my life, impulse control, he had none. When he was on with D.L. Hughley, impulse control, he had none. Whenever he is called on the carpet, it looks as though anger is the first rage. It's the first response to whatever he is being called out on, confronted with, or the situation, and he goes into this thing. So with that, I believe your story, and this is really what I said in my caption when I posted it. I said it looks like a woman was speaking in tongues, and he did not like this utterance, and he just wanted her out. So he actually rejected. Now, if you are a Zoe member, I'm inclined to believe you're a son of prophet and trained. So he rejected a prophetic word because it was not a fit for his agenda, because God was calling for order, and he wants to remain in disorder and disruption.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to leave it right there with this interview, but I wanted to listen to it to give some insight on her motivations for being there and a little bit about what was going on in the video with this confrontation. And as you heard there with the rest of this, a lot of what they're talking about sounds very occultic, new age, new thought, Gnosticism. You know, they're the ones with the secret knowledge on interpreting tongues, even your own tongues, even though the Bible says not to do that and all this stuff. So in that regard, she was much out of order. If she wanted to just go there to see what she could see, just sit there quietly, observe, and don't get drawn into anything. But hopefully she can get the legal parts of it straightened out. So I'm not judging her and blaming her and saying she deserved it, but there were some things that were contributing to what happened. So next video is we're going to get into the meat and potatoes or as much as we can at this time as far as the indictment that was served just before Christmas Day to the bishop. So here's the report.
Have lost your faith because you saw somebody else die. What you about to go through?
A flamboyant pastor from Brooklyn is in big trouble with the feds, accused of wire fraud and other crimes related to extortion. I'm Ann Jeanette Levy, and welcome to Sidebar here on Law and Crime. We've told you a lot about Pastor Lamore Whitehead out of Brooklyn. Last summer, he was robbed at gunpoint in his church. Some people were later arrested for that. He also had a confrontation with a woman that was caught on the live stream at his church. Now the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York says that Pastor Whitehead did a lot of bad things. They're saying he extorted a man and tried to convince that man to loan him $500,000 after extorting $5,000 from him. Plus, the U.S. attorney says Whitehead took $90,000 from a retiree in his church after promising to help her buy a home. The FBI also says that this guy said he only had one cell phone when they executed a search warrant on his cell phone, but they say he made false statements because he actually had two. Joining me to discuss this is Nick Ackerman. He is a former Watergate prosecutor, and also he was an assistant U.S. attorney for a time in the Southern District of New York. Nick, welcome to Sidebar. Thanks for coming on.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Nick, what are your initial thoughts when reading the charges in this case and the allegations?
Yeah, it strikes me as a pretty typical fraud. I used to prosecute a number of these in the Southern District. And what they've done is they've put together a bunch of different acts that this guy's participated in, plus this extortion, plus lying about it. To me, it looks like a pretty strong case. I mean, the big issue in these types of cases is whether or not the person had the intent to defraud, that he knew what he was doing. And when you put a number of these things together, you come away with the impression there's no way he didn't know what he was doing. Clearly, it's all bolstered by the fact that he lied to the FBI about having a second phone, and it's further bolstered by the fact that he was tampering with witnesses and extorting. So I think he's got real problems here.
And let's talk, first of all, about the cell phone piece of this. Some people do have two cell phones. Sometimes it's a work phone and a personal phone. I know that's happened to me in the past. But I've also covered a lot of cases where people have two cell phones for a reason. It's because they're doing something they shouldn't be doing on one and then using the other for other purposes. So does that ever raise suspicion when, A, somebody has two cell phones, and, B, they lie about it?
No question about it, especially when you put the two together. I mean, what is the purpose of having two cell phones, really? I mean, I can understand there might be some legitimate reason, but then why would you lie to the FBI about it? And I'm sure that once they found out about the other cell phone, they probably wound up looking at it and gathering evidence off of that cell phone that's going to be used against him, which makes it even worse because it shows it's that much more material of a lie that he was basically trying to cover up, and that was why he lied to the FBI.
I mean, he's accused of trying to get a man to loan him $500,000. He had already apparently extorted, allegedly, this man for $5,000. I mean, $500,000, that's a lot of money to try to get someone to loan you. Just this isn't, we're not talking going to a bank. We're talking going to somebody and saying, hey, can you loan me $500,000? So all of these witnesses, these alleged victims, I'm sure, are cooperating with the feds.
Oh, sure, you got a number, which was is what takes away the normal defense in these kinds of cases, which, oh, I really didn't mean it, I didn't intend to defraud him, I really wanted to get a loan. But when you put all of these different incidents together, I mean, a jury's going to walk away from this and say, there's no way that this guy was doing anything but trying to rip off these people.
And the other thing that caught my eye was this allegation, and he apparently had been previously sued for this, for getting a retired church member in his church to give him $90,000. He said he was going to help her buy a home. We're talking about an elderly victim. I don't know her exact age, but she's an older woman. $90,000, that is a lot of money.
Yeah, it was her whole retirement account. And he never gave it back, and he came up with a phony excuse as to why he didn't give it back. And again, you put that in the context of all of these other victims. There's no question that this individual acted with an intent to defraud, namely to lie and steal from people.
He has said on his Instagram account he's not guilty. His attorney gave a statement to, I think, the New York Times saying, you know, he didn't do this and he's going to fight this. How do you see this case as a former assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York? How does this case move forward?
Well, I think what's going to happen is he's either going to go to trial, and if he goes to trial, he's going to be convicted. And if he fights these charges, he's likely to get a very stiff sentence. If he makes a deal, he might be able to do a bit better. But either way, he is in a big pickle at this point, no question about it. I think they've got the witnesses, they've got the documents, they've got the evidence. This is a case that shouldn't go to trial for that reason.
You know, he's still saying things online. He's known for doing live streams. I mean, if you're his lawyer, I'm sure you're telling the guy, be quiet, hush up, don't say a word.
Oh, absolutely. But it doesn't sound like this is the type of guy who's going to hush up or be quiet. It just doesn't seem like it's in his nature. And the more he talks, the more he's going to get himself in trouble here. This is the kind of client that just gives you a total angina because you just don't know what he's going to do.
Most certainly. And they call him the Bling Bishop. So I think he has his own little swagger and likes to kind of play by his own rules. So we'll obviously keep an eye on this and see what happens. Nick Ackerman, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, too.
And that's it for this edition of Law and Crime Sidebar Podcast. It is produced by Sam Goldberg.
Okay. And I thought that was very interesting, and the parts that he was saying about the case they have against him, because even Larry Reed hinted at this early on, like several months, like 3-4 months ago, that he knew that the feds were watching him. So it's possible they've been on him for a while, maybe as much as a year. Especially considering the nature of his prior convictions and what he was in prison for, the identity theft, the numerous counts that he was convicted under, and it may not seem like a big deal now because we hear so much about identity theft, but in the early 2000s, it was something that with this type of crime was somewhat new, and it was a big deal. So they may have been watching him for a while, and because like the attorney said he's always online, he's always saying stuff, he's always giving convicted or conflicted accounts of things in the many different interviews he's done. So he's a defense attorney's nightmare. I wouldn't want to represent him because he won't be quiet, and I'm not. And if he's like a typical narcissist, a lot of times they don't like to give account for what they've done. They don't take ownership, responsibility. They're hostile to even the thought of it. So who knows if he's going to try to get a plea deal, even if it's against the advice of his attorney. So, because I don't know, because I think even in his first trial, I've seen some information where, he had some issues, or his attorneys had some issues with him, and, so this will be interesting to see how this plays out, but he... It might be in a lot of trouble here. And so the next video we're going to listen to is not a long document, the indictment, but it is online to look at. And I wanted to listen to a video where they're actually reading from the indictment so you can hear the charges that are against him currently. But for all we know, they could amend the indictment and there might be more stuff coming. Who knows? Because they still investigate even after they indict or arrest someone most of the time. So the next video is the indictment.
So I'll just read it. It's very short. The charges in this indictment arise from a course of conduct in which Lamore Whitehead, the defendant, sought money and other things of value from victims on the basis of either threats or false promises that the victims' investments with Whitehead would benefit the victims financially. In fact, Whitehead, who leads a church in Brooklyn, New York, intended to and did defraud the victims by taking their money and other property with no intention of investing it, returning it, or enriching the victims. From at least in or about April 2020 up to and including in or about July 2021, Lamore Whitehead, the defendant, elicited approximately $90,000 from an individual who attended his church, this is known as Victim 1, through a series of cell phone and internet communications with Victim 1 and her son. Under the terms of their agreement, Whitehead will use the money to assist Victim 1 in obtaining a home, and after doing so, Whitehead would otherwise be able to use the money as an investment in his real estate businesses. However, shortly after Victim 1 transferred Whitehead the money from her retirement savings, Whitehead instead used Victim 1's money to purchase thousands of dollars of luxury goods and clothing, and he continued to use Victim 1's money for his own purposes. Whitehead never helped Victim 1 obtain a home and has not returned Victim 1's money, despite her request that he do so. In or about April and May 2022, Lamore Whitehead, the defendant, attempted to convince a businessman known as Victim 2 to lend Whitehead approximately $500,000 and give him a stake in certain real estate transactions. Whitehead told Victim 2 that in exchange for this money and interest in real estate transactions, Whitehead would obtain favorable actions by the New York City government for Victim 2 that would enrich both Whitehead and Victim 2. When Whitehead knew that he had no ability to obtain such actions, despite that knowledge, Whitehead told Victim 2 that they would make, quote, millions. Near the beginning of his relationship with Victim 2, Lamore Whitehead, the defendant, also used threats of force to obtain $5,000 from a business owned by the Victim 2. At the direction of law enforcement, Victim 2 made the payment to Whitehead. During the course of the investigation into the conduct of Lamore Whitehead, the defendant, special agent of the FBI, executed a search warrant for cell phones on the person of Whitehead.
Whitehead told the agents that he owned only the cell phone, which was then on his person. When Whitehead knew that he, in fact, owned a second cell phone, known as phone number two, which he regularly used before and after the execution of the warrant, including to send a text message in which Whitehead identified phone two as, quote, my other phone, shortly after telling the agents that he had no other phones. So now they're going to tell you about each count of his indictment. This is count one. It's wire fraud. The allegations contained in paragraphs 1 through 5 above are hereby repeated, alleged, and incorporated by reference as if fully set forth herein. From at least in or about April 2020 and up to and including in or about June 2021 in the Southern District of New York and elsewhere, Mr. Whitehead, the defendant, having devised and intended to devise a scheme and artifice to defraud and for obtaining money and property by means of false and fraudulent pretenses, representations, and promises transmitted and caused to be transmitted by means of wire, radio, and television communication in interstate and foreign commerce, writing signs, signals, pictures, and sounds for the purpose of executing such scheme and artifice, to wit, Whitehead made material misrepresentations to Victim 1 and her son to obtain money from Victim 1 as a purported real estate investment, which he received in part through use of an interstate wire, when he in fact intended to use the investment in whole or in part for personal purposes. His count two of the indictment is attempted wire fraud. In or about April and May 2020 in the Southern District of New York, Mr. Whitehead, the defendant, having devised and intending to devise a scheme and artifice to defraud and for obtaining money and property by means of false and fraudulent pretenses, representations, and promises transmitted and caused to be transmitted by means of a wire, radio, and television communication in interstate and foreign commerce, made material misrepresentations to Victim 2 and interstate communications and otherwise in an attempt to convince Victim 2 to transfer money and other property to Whitehead. Count 3, attempted extortion. This basically was, to wit, Whitehead used threats of force to attempt to obtain $5,000 from a business located in part in the Bronx, New York, and owned by Victim 2. This count, I'm just skipping this because it's repetitive. This was just count three, is attempted extortion. They're saying that he attempted to extort Victim 2 by forcing him to give him $5,000 from his business. Count four is false statements. On or about June 8th of 2022, in the Southern District of New York and elsewhere, Lamar Whitehead, the defendant in a matter within the jurisdiction, knowingly and willfully falsified, concealed, and covered up by a trick, scheme, and device a material fact and made a materially false, fictitious, and fraudulent statement and representations, to wit, during the execution of a search warrant for cell phones on Whitehead's person. Whitehead told special agents of the FBI that he owned only the cell phone which was then on his person, when Whitehead knew that he in fact owned and used phone number two. Here, they at the end of the indictment, they go into forfeiture allegations. They're basically trying to get the money back from both of the victims that they allege Mr. Whitehead took from them, and they're saying that if he doesn't have enough assets to repay those victims, then they'll go and get whatever assets he do have to pay the victims back. So they really want to get the victims paid back in this case, and that's their main priority. And then, you know, through all four counts, Mr. Whitehead is facing, for three of the counts, they carry 20-year maximum sentences, and then one of the counts carry a 5-year maximum sentence. So altogether, if he was to get convicted on all charges, which he most likely won't, they would run the sentences concurrently together. so he would only do 20 years. But I highly doubt he'll even – I think they're going to give him a plea where he'll have to plead to one of the charges and the other three charges will be dismissed. And he might have to do a year or two in prison just because he lied to the FBI and they don't like that. But if he got a good enough lawyer, he 9 times out of 10, he'll probably not even have to go to prison. He probably just could get away with like house arrest for a year or so and restitution. So that's it. That's the indictment. It was unsealed today. I couldn't find anything else because this case was sealed today, and there's no case files on it in the federal system just yet. So that's it. If you like the video, get a...
All right, so that's the indictment. And I would just say, of course, not being an attorney, just speculating and thinking, especially considering his criminal past and the nature of those crimes, which he was convicted and served time in prison for. I don't know if that plays into sentencing and plea deals and all that stuff. So who knows? But I don't know if I can agree with this young man that he might not, that he probably won't get any jail time or house arrest. He might have to do at least some time. We just don't know how long. Because that remains to be seen. I don't think the trial is even set until next spring sometime, and plus you never know if they may add some more counts to this thing, because there could be other stuff out there, because there are other people that are suing him that are claiming he took money from them under false pretenses and never paid them. There's other lawsuits. And the thing with the forfeitures, that he didn't read over it, but one thing it says, he'll be required to forfeit any and all property, real and personal, that constitutes or is derived from proceeds traceable to the commission of said offense, including but not limited to a sum of money in the U.S. currency representing the amount of proceeds traceable to the commission of said offense. Basically, if they can trace this money, any property he bought with money that he got from ill-gotten gains, fraud, whatever, he will forfeit that property, which happens with a lot of criminal enterprises, drug dealers. That happens with those cases a lot. If they can trace those purchases to money that they made from illegal activity, then they will forfeit that property. So that appears to be what this is referring to. Yeah, man, maybe it'll help some of these people get at least a little of their money back from this guy. So, since we got some time left, what we'll do is go ahead and get started on a video response that he did. When was this? Not long after he bonded out. He did some video responses, and this is one of them we'll start listening to today. And if we don't get to finish it, we'll finish it next week. And also, I'll be doing a sermon review on him, too, because we hadn't really looked at his preaching. So I want to take a look at that as well. So here's the video.
And I'm coming from Scripture. I want to give you guys a word of encouragement. First of all, I want to thank everybody for just showing me all the love, you know, showing me all the appreciation. and just thank you for everybody that have supported me, supported my family. Just thank you guys. I'm just thankful for you guys from the bottom of my heart. I want to just thank my family. I want to thank everybody. But, however, I want to give you guys a word, right? That's right, y'all, 10 toes down, man, 10 toes down. I want y'all to understand that I'm a preacher of the Word of God, right? And preach, I know that the devil is going to challenge me and going to come for every word. When I say I love Jesus, the enemy wants me to hate Jesus. If I say you can make it, the enemy...
What is it with these guys? The devil, every time their foolishness is laid out to bear, it's always the devil attacking them.
Want me to make it, so I can't teach that no more. If God says you're going to recover all, right, then that means some things got to be stolen from you in order to recover all, right? I want y'all to understand that. I want everybody to think about every lie. I want y'all right now just to type in the lie. I just want y'all to type the lie. Everybody that supports me, just put, I want everybody to type in the comments, the lie. I want everybody to put the lie. Just put the lie, the lie. Everybody right now that have been lied on, if you don't like me or you don't like me, it don't matter. Just put the lie. I want you to put the lie. Everybody that's been lied on. If you've been lied on, just put the lie. The lie. I'm going somewhere with this. Everybody, I want y'all to flood the timelines and just put the lie. The lie. The lie. The lie. Come on, I want everybody to put the lie. If you've been lied on, I don't care if y'all came up here to troll. I don't care if you came up here because you don't like me. A lot of people say they came up here because just to see the comments, all that. If you ever been lied on, just put the lie. I just need to get this out. If you have been ever lied on, just put the lie, the lie, the lie. If you've been lied on more than once, just put a couple of E's at the end of the lie. Just put a couple of E's. Just put a couple of E's on the end of that. Now, I want y'all to put this, right? If you've been lied on, that means you're not guilty, right, to what they said about you, right? If you've been lied on, that means you're not guilty. So now I want everybody to put not guilty, right? Put everybody put not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. I want you to think about how they lied on you, and then I want you to put not guilty. Because I need y'all to set an atmosphere on how it feels to be lied on, right? Right. I don't want y'all to, because everybody's getting emotional and everybody's believing the media and everybody's getting in a little bag. But I want you to put your shoes. Put your feet in some shoes called a lie. And now I want you to say not guilty. Why? Why am I saying this, right? Because there is a scripture that I want to read to y'all. Isaiah 54:17. Now, this scripture protects you. This scripture right here protects you from the lie, all right? This scripture right here protects you from the lie, right? Isaiah 54:17. If you've ever been lied on, if you ever been neglected, right, I'm here to tell y'all that there is a scripture. There is a scripture that will give God control over our life. There is a scripture that gives angels charge over our life. There is a scripture that will encourage us. There is a scripture that's in the Bible that will encourage us when the world turns their back on us, when the world is against us, when nobody believes you, when everybody wants you to die, when everybody wants you to suffer. There is a scripture, y'all. There is a scripture. I want y'all to understand there is a scripture. And the scripture is Isaiah 54:17, where it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hold on now. Hold on one second. I just felt the Holy Ghost right there. I don't know about y'all, but I just felt the Holy Ghost. See, I got people on Facebook calling me a liar. I got people calling me all type of names. But the Bible says in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I need y'all to say hallelujah right now. That's right. Y'all can call me a clown. You can call me whatever name you want to call me. Let me tell you that there, I have a defense called Isaiah 54:17. Well, Bishop, how is words weapons, Bishop? I was always taught sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But I am a Bible scholar, and the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. So I need y'all to understand that every
one that tries to slay me with their words, everyone that wants to lie on me with their words, everyone that wants to talk about me. I have a scripture called Isaiah 54:17 where it says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. See, I need y'all to understand that. This is my mind frame. See, the Bible didn't say the weapon won't be formed. The Bible didn't say that the weapon won't be formed. The Bible says, hold on 1 second, y'all.
Okay, we'll leave it right there for now. We'll get back to this next time. But I wonder if Isaiah 54:17 is gonna work in court with the prosecutors. I wonder if he plans on using that. He might, because he quoted scripture to the judge in his last case. Even though he quoted it wrong, he still used it. So you never know with this guy. But he it might be in a bit of trouble here. And the feds, from what I understand from commentary, is they have a really good conviction rate, 98%, because most of the time people try to cut a deal to get less time or whatever, more leniency during sentencing, as the attorney we listened to in that last video said. So, but we'll see. He doesn't seem like the type that will want to cut a deal, because with cutting a deal, you have to admit to your crimes in open court, I believe. This is basically saying, I did these things. So, and narcissists hate to do that, but maybe self-preservation will kick in and he'll do it. So we'll pick up with Bishop Whitehead again next week, and that has been my time. I thank you so much for yours. Have a great rest of your day and week, and we'll see you next time.